This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Welcome back to the Research Talks podcast from Stockbox with Alan Green. How are you, Alan?
I'm very good, thanks, Mark. It's a lovely sunny day here on the South Coast. Looking forward to the weekend, but God, it's nearly the end of quarter two. Where has the year gone?
Yes, it is actually very scary. People told me that, you know, time only gets quicker, and you're a bit older than me, so maybe you can vouch for that. But I tell you what, I think the last year is unprecedented, though, anyone's standard.
But I think also the lockdown, because yes. There have been many, many Groundhog Days. We're getting up and doing the same things out today without too much variety, because we can't really go out and do different stuff. So I'm sure once we start to move around again, then you know
time will slow again.
Time will hopefully slow down, but maybe not in my case because of my advancing years.
Maybe. It has been a crazy year. It is like Groundhog Day. It really is. It's almost like you lose track of the days just merge into one, and it is pretty scary that we are here at the end of quarter two. But like you say, it's a nice blue sky. It's nice and sunny, so maybe the weekend will be a nice spring in the air, and we can get up and do some outdoor stuff, which would always be fun.
That would be good. That would be good. I plan to spend as much of the time outdoors this weekend as possible. So,
excellent. Good. So before we can retire for the weekend, of course, we have to talk about the company today, which is Trident Royalties. And it's the first royalty company that I think we've spoken about, Alan, but also it's one of the only, if not the only, actually, royalty company listed on AIM. It's a popular model, I understand, in North America, but it's a little bit unheard of over in the London markets. So, but hopefully, as you will tell us all about how it works and why it's perhaps worth considering as an investment proposition.
Certainly. The company have of course made a big announcement today, and I'll come to that shortly. Mm. But just to provide some background on Trident Royalties first of all, so the company has currently got a market capitalization of just under 40 million sterling. Shares are traded as high as 41.6p on the year and as low as 17.5p, and today, in fact, after the open, they're just on 37p. As you say, Mark, the company, the royalty model isn't a model that we're used to seeing in the UK, but nonetheless, it's an extremely effective way for companies and organisations and investors to leverage value from investments into mining projects that are producing. They're producing revenue streams. They're producing dividend payments, and of course, in the case of the early stage investments, there's an opportunity to get involved in a mining project, see it through to maybe a pre feasibility study, and then move that project on perhaps to an operator or another investor. So, in essence, the company acquires and aggregates these royalties and revenue streams to deliver returns to its investors. And of course, as you'd expect, it's run by a very experienced management team in order to do this. It boosts its returns by introducing by getting involved in projects and introducing conservative leverage and scaling up the acquisition or scaling up the investment opportunity through accretive scrip transactions, and that's of course where it acquires an asset and receives a payment in return for that. Ultimately, the company is looking to develop an attractive dividend policy once it's scaled up to a certain point. And indeed, as we'll find out shortly today, it's taken a very big step in that direction. So the company is run by, you know, the chief executive of the company is a chap called Adam Davidson. And Adam has 10 years' experience in the natural resources sector, working with Resource Capital Funds, a mining equity company. Prior to that, he's held a position with BMO Capital Markets in metals and mining equity research, and is also, in a previous life, he's a former US Marine. So he has very much enjoyed the full spectrum of life. The non-exec director, James Kelly, who joined recently, has 20 years experience in the mining industry, extensive experience in corporate finance and strategy, was a senior member of the group business development team at Xstrata, and was following the merger with Glencore. He was part of the team that founded Greenstone Resources private equity fund. He's been a director on ASX listed Cradle Resources, and obviously he brings a tremendous amount of experience with him to the board. Albert Gourley, he's a non-exec director. He's a member of an international, he's a managing partner, in fact, of an international law firm where he his specialist area is finance and asset transactions in the natural resource industry. He's also served as director on the board of several mining companies over the past years, I think if you look on the previous news flow of the company toward the end of last year, you'll see that he was building up a big position in Trident Royalties through buying shares in the open market. In fact, the chairman, James Kelly, also bought in the open market too. So the company have added transactions through the year. They provided an update on February, at the start of February, and just a look back over the full year to December 2020. Six transactions were agreed over 11 royalties during the year, and it also acquired the Puka Quaka, I hope I pronounced that correctly, copper royalty from a company called Orion Resources. And of course, the Puka Quaka royalty is operated by a company called Nexa Resources, who have allocated some $16 million to the project. There's a mineral resource estimate at the project of some 309 million tons of copper, and that transaction represents the first all equity full transaction for Trident Royalties. So that was a key step forward. A lot of the investments are in projects in Australia. There's an investment in Zambia too. So I'm just going to go through the Australian investments. There's the Kooya Nobbing iron ore project, fantastic name, as they always are in Australia. The company generated $305,000 in quarter four last year, giving 2020 total cumulative payments of $2.5 million Australian dollars, or $1.7 million US dollars, and that means that having paid $6.6 million Australian dollars for the royalty about a year ago, it's already received back 35% of that initial investment, which is a fantastic return by any standards. So also in Australia, there's the Late Rebecca Gold royalty, which the company said in its quarter four update had been de-risked by Apollo Consolidated, which was the operator, again, ASX-listed company. And there is a potential for an updated mineral resource estimate in quarter two of this year. And their Trident owns a 1.5% net smelter royalty. We then come to the Warrawoona Gold Project, run by Calidus Resources, also in Australia. And that's Calidus Resources, ASX-listed, said that the Warrawoona project was now fully funded to production. And, of course, there'll be a royalty there going forward for Trident. The Spring Hill Gold project, the permitting for that is on track. And then, of course, in Zambia, we have the Mimbula Copper Project, which generated $56,740 Australian dollars in quarter four, which puts production at 8-year highs and represents a 158% increase over the previous period. So all of that activity basically netted or meant that Trident ended the year with just under $7 million cash at 31st of December. Adam Davidson said that that they it would have been an incredibly strong year for them, but they were anticipating seeing increasing returns from existing paying royalties into 2021, with 12 active non-disclosure agreements already on the table. So already we have a very exciting year in prospect for Trident Royalties. Mm-hmm. And that was up to this morning, of course, where Trident announced their biggest deal to date, which is, you know, it's by any margin, the biggest deal to date. The company announced it had acquired a 60% interest in the Thacker Pass lithium project from Orion Resources. Again, of course, it acquired the royalty from the Puka-Quaka copper royalties also. So acquired this from Orion Resources for $28 million. And that will be paid out through in $26 million in cash, and also the issue of 4,200,000 odd shares in Trident Royalties to Orion Resources. So in order to do that, the company has also announced a placing today at 34 pence. So, you know, that's a really strong level to raise the money. Oversubscribed placing, raised $28 million. And as well as the placing, it's offering it offered 500,000 shares on primary bid, also 34p, to raise a further $500,000 $0.7 million. Mm-hmm. So that represents the cash payment and has bolstered the cash reserve slightly. The terms of the deal with Thacker are that it will receive 60% of gross revenue royalty, but subject to a partial operator buyback in year one of operation. Now, the operator is Lithium Americas Corporation, LAC, and that's a $2 billion company. So it's a huge company. And this is, you know, this represents a step change for Trident Royalties. It's clearly lithium is the... It's the material that is key and will drive the EV and the battery industry going forward. And I'm just looking at a chart as we talk of the price of lithium carbonate since the start of the year. Now, in November last year, lithium carbonate was trading at $40,000 a ton. And it's now trading at over double that, $85,000 a ton. And it's there are expectations of a supply squeeze as more and more vehicle manufacturers come on stream and move to electric only. So this is only going to go one way. So it's an incredibly well-timed entry into the market by Trident Royalties. And I think it's going to... We're going to see, we'll probably see in the next few months, a re-rating from the company in that regard. Mm-hmm. So Thacker Pass has 3.1 million tons of lithium carbon equivalent, and it's actually the largest lithium reserve in the USA and has a 46-year mine life. So, you know, long term, this is going to be a key producing hub for the industry. So there are estimates on the numbers from the Thacker Pass project going forward. Phase one royalties are expected to be just under $4 million per annum, with phase two royalties at $7.6 million per annum. And of course, with that sort of money, it's going to be a cornerstone asset for Trident Royalties. It also represents the second transaction with Orion Resources, and on completion of the royalty agreement, Orion will hold 6.3% of Trident Royalties. So obviously, the Orion itself then has exposure to the other royalty interests held by Trident. So already in quarter one, Trident Royalties has taken a step change. And just to go back and remind you of where Trident was at the end of 2020, 12 active non-disclosure agreements on the table. Now, if this is just one of those agreements, I think we're going to see a very exciting year in prospect. Mm. And currently, with a stock sitting at 37 pence, giving it a value of 40 million, I would expect further deals of this nature will add many times that value as we go forward.
They certainly seem to be blazing a trail in the royalty space. I read in the RNS this morning that this is the seventh an ounce transaction, and it's the 12th royalty since admission to trading, which was only in June last year. And you say there's what potentially a load more to come as well. And this deal particularly is huge for them.
Well, it's huge, but on February 1st in the Q4 trading update, Adam Davidson said that just under 7 million cash at that point. Obviously, there's more cash now with the placing, but there were 12 active non-disclosure agreements for different projects on the table. Now, if this is just one of those, it gives if the others are of, well. This is probably going to be the largest one for some time, but the record of success they've already achieved, the growth in revenue they've already achieved, that this is a board and a company that is very adept at executing value accretive agreements for shareholders and investors. So I think it's got a very bright future, and I look forward to hearing what the next deal is all about.
Indeed. I mean, it is remarkable what they've achieved in less than a year there, really. And I mean, the royalty model is maybe it's not quite as exciting as being directly as it was sort of a shareholder investor in a mining exploration company, because, you know, you perhaps don't have the excitement of a discovery, for example. But I mean, you know, you do still get that with this, but you're kind of buffered a little bit away from it, which is good, because, you know, you've got the board there who are only going to really execute what they feel are really good, valuable deals like this one that's just come out. And if you wanted to get exposure to exploration and revenue generating also, because I think there's three levels of royalties they go for. I think, if I remember correctly looking at their website, there is revenue generating, they are near term, and then there's exploration. So there's, like, if you like, less risk and even less risk. So it's actually a really good way, in my opinion, to get exposure to the mining sector, but have that kind of that safety net, if you like, as well, you know?
I mean, we've spoken about other companies. Cadence Minerals is one example of a company with investments into different mining projects at different stages. But Trident, I think, that they've moved the game on, and I mentioned the Spring Hill Gold Project in Australia, and of course that's an early stage project at the exploration phase. So they will get involved in that. But equally, the primary focus in order to grow Trident Royalties as an entity is to acquire projects that pay out royalties that where there's a revenue stream in existence already and an opportunity for capital growth or to reposition the entity or the royalty entity further down the road for resale, perhaps to a mining company or another royalties operator. And of course, this is what happens. You know, they're assets that can be resold for greater value further down the road. So in a sense, it's very much if you were looking for a mining fund, for instance, or a fund of mining companies, this, I think, you could do a lot worse than look at Trident Royalties, because look at the share price performance over the past year. Really steady performance. You know, none of the boom and bust that. Particularly over the last year that we've become so used to seeing with the COVID crisis, since the company's come to market, it's just steadily performed. June last year, I think, was the low at 20p, and we've already seen a high at the start of this year of 42 pence, just a steady performance since then. So, as you said, Mark, you won't get the excitement that you might get with a company that owns the mine and goes with the trends and perhaps faces all the risk of perhaps the incumbent or the country in which it's operating and the incumbent government. With Trident, you're taking one step back from that. You're involved in projects that are producing revenue, about to produce revenue, and offer the opportunity for capital gain on any future any future sale of that royalty.
Yes, and as you say, it's that leveraged value that you can get from this model as well. And of course, with the royalty model, as I understand, you don't suffer from dilution as you might do if you're a direct shareholder in a mining exploration company.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's very true. That's you know, the project's bought, it's acquired, it pays the revenue, it pays out the royalties for the period of time. The there's actually great visibility with this model going forward. If you're looking to plot the revenues for a company for the next year, you can almost do that with Trident. You can look at what they're earning from their producing assets and plot that out. And of course, any company usually operates on a 5-year plan. And I'm sure with Trident, it's got revenues mapped out for at least the next 7 to 10 years.
And the plan in the end, I suppose, of course, the value generation could come from or should come from capital growth or, growth in the share price, but also the dividend policy, which obviously is not there at the moment. But I also noticed again from this morning's RNS is it says that it allows the company to approach, achieve critical mass. This transaction this morning is a step forward to achieving critical mass. So that suggests that, they really are on the way to, well, as you said, achieving critical mass, and then hopefully in the not too distant future, being able to return some cash to shareholders by way of a dividend as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we know phase one royalties are going to be $3.8 million, from the off, and phase two $7.6 million. This mine will be moving towards production, and of course, that revenue, that revenue is there. Is there into the company, and of course, we're going to hear about, we spoke about the other NDAs. We're going to find out how much revenues will come from those potentially. But it's approaching critical mass, and it's approaching the point where it can offer a great return on investment for investors. And also the macro picture, the backdrop, as we've said on many previous podcasts, the backdrop for both precious metals, base metals is very strong for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
So you've got, I think with Trident, you've got that visibility or good visibility on the value and potential future value of the commodities like lithium, like gold, like iron ore, and then of course you've got the visibility from Trident itself on the royalty deals and the future revenue streams it's going to generate. So the company is well run, it's carefully run, and the fact that the directors stepped up and bought big chunks of shares at the end of last year, I think, is just tells you what they think the future holds for Trident.
Yes, it's always very good to see directors there with, as we say, skin in the game. But also, as you mentioned there, the mining super cycle that we keep seeing coming around, which is definitely overdue. And what a great place for Trident to be in, and time, if that's what we're going to see for the next, as you say, 5, 6, whatever years of a commodities boom. It's a fantastic starting place to be. So.
It is, and I think as an investor, if you're looking at your portfolio and looking at allocating elements of the portfolio to relatively safe investments, and then some of the more speculative ones, even though Trident's only been on the market for a year or so, I think this goes straight into the safe box. I think you could put this alongside your safer investments, given the track record that they have to date, and also given the relatively stable, benign nature of the share price performance over the past year.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Alan, there, for talking to us on the Research Talks podcast about Trident Royalties, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, Mark. Speak next week. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching @StockboxMedia.